Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. These verses come from what is called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and they are probably familiar words to most of us, but once again, I ask you as you hear them, try to listen for something new that's being spoken through these words to you on this day, at this particular point on your faith journey. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, when I was a kid, my dad would often talk about what he called Saturday morning cereals of his childhood. Not the breakfast cereal, but something else. Anybody ever heard of those? Okay, good, a few of you. I don't remember them, but I've heard about them. Evidently, on Saturdays, you'd go to the movie theater, and you'd pay some minimal cost, 5 cents. Of course, it may not have been minimal back then, but you would pay it, you'd watch it, and it was a continuous story. It was a serial. Every week you got the latest episode, but at the end of each episode, something would happen that would bring you back the next week. You know what you call those? Cliffhangers. That's correct, Bob Starks. Good job. Anyway, well, 3 weeks ago, we had a cliffhanger in the sermon. Of course, you remember it, right? Of course you don't. Anyway, we were poised at the top of the high dive. No, not that you're saying. Okay, we were ready to jump off the high dive. Now, of course, you don't remember, so I'll review a little bit. Optimus Pool. Now, I learned today, it's been probably 10 years since I've been to Optimus Pool. Learned today the high dive is gone, so you missed your chance. I understand now they have put a rock wall, a climbing wall, and you fall into the pool. So that's pretty cool. But anyway, I want to go back before they put the rock wall up and they had the high dive. I said a couple weeks ago, I've spent a lot of time watching people go off the high dive. And you watch them from the time they begin their ascent to the time they land in the water, it's quite an ordeal. You watch them and you hear the banter going back and forth. But anyway, the way it works, you finally decide you're going to go up that ladder. And so you start climbing up the ladder. And you get about 3/4 of the way up, you look down, which is a big mistake. You look down, and it seems like you're on top of a 10-story building. And you think to yourself, what am I doing? I should not be up here. I know what I'll do. I will go down. I'm not going to do this. But there's a problem with that. And what is that problem? There are people behind you coming up that ladder. You have no choice. So you keep going, and you get to the top of the ladder, and you transition. You transition from the ladder to the board, which is not an easy transition. It's a bit scary. And you get up there, and you say, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? But there's no going back. So you creep out down the board, and you get to the point where the railing stops, but the board continues. So gingerly, you make your way past the railings, and you get to the very end of the pool. Now, the end of the board. And when you get there, you look down, it looks dangerous, and you're trying to find the person who went off before you to see if they are still alive. And you don't see them. Then all of a sudden they pop up out of the water, they give the old, high fist in the air, and they're exhilarated. And everybody goes, come on, Jay, you can do it, jump. Now, at this point, you cannot be almost ready to jump. You can't be considering it like, I'm thinking this out further. No, it is time to jump. There is no backing out. Bill W. writes these words in step 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. You can't be almost ready for that. You have to be ready to go. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And let me remind you, Bill is talking about that searching and fearless moral inventory that you have done that kind of presumably brings up some issues for you. And maybe they are a little bit concerning. Now, of course, the word defect can sound a bit harsh and a bit judgmental, but it doesn't have to be. Defects sound to me like scars, really. Things that mar our lives and lead us to devaluing ourselves. So any talk of removal of defects is very liberating. It's recreative. It's transformative. Okay, there's a moment. When you're standing at the edge of the high dive, your toes are curled over the end of it and you're gripping the board with the toes. Your knees are marginally bent. Your hands are positioned appropriately. Your heart's pounding. Loved ones are cheering you on. And you shift your weight forward ever so slightly until you reach the balance point. And at that moment, time stops. And it waits for your decision. Okay. So said a few weeks ago, in step 6, what we do at this point, we cross ourselves, we take a deep breath, and with the words of Jesus from the cross, leaving our mouth, we say, Father, into your hands, I commend my spirit, and we jump off the high dive. Friends, as you know, we have been using Father Richard Rohr's metaphor of breathing underwater to guide us into a new way of doing spirituality, a new way of doing life. Now, Rohr uses the 12-step program of AA as the template for this transformation. And his guiding metaphor is offered to us in a beautiful poem by Carol Bielek. And if you've lived long enough, you can appreciate these words. You can appreciate when the sea comes calling. So let me just, again, read a very abbreviated form of this poem. She says, I built my house by the sea. Not on sands, mind you, not on shifting sand. I built it of rock, a strong house by a strong sea. And then one day, and I still don't know how it happened, the sea came without warning, without welcome even. And I thought of flight, and I thought of drowning, and I thought of death. And while I thought, the sea crept higher till it reached my door. And I knew then there was neither flight, nor death, nor drowning, that when the sea comes calling, you stop being neighbors, well acquainted, friendly at a distant neighbors, and you learn to breathe underwater. Step 7, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Okay, hear that again. We humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Okay, let me ask you this. Have you ever had one of those days? You know, those days when nothing is working. You know, and nothing's working the way you think they should be working. Life is not working. You know, you go to the store and you pick your store, Target, grocery store, whatever. You get in the line, it's packed. It'll be packed in a few weeks. You get in the line, and you pick the best one, right? You get in the line, and you're looking over, and all of a sudden you know something about the line next to yours. And what is it? It's moving faster. You're having price check after price check after price check or something in your line. So what do? You say, well, I'm just going to go here to this other line. So you move lines. Then you get in that line, you look back at the old line, and what's happened? It's picked up pace. That's a good feeling. That is a good feeling when that happens. How about you go up to the ATM, drive up ATM. I always try to get as close as I can so I don't have to reach as far. Okay, you pull up close, you roll down your window, and you take your card, and you're about to put it into the machine, and you drop it. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll open the door, and I'll retrieve it. You can't open the door. You're too close to the ATM. Oh, I know. I'll back up. You can't back up. There are two cars behind you now. That's a good feeling. That's a good feeling, folks. Okay, it's Friday night. Okay. And you're hungry. You say, I don't want to cook anything. I want to go out to eat somewhere nice. So you say, Chick-fil-A sounds good. So you say, I'm just going to go over and get a chicken sandwich. I've been thinking about it. You get there. You've ordered it online or through your app, and they bring it out in your car. You're so excited. You get home. You get out fine china. You open the bag, and the sandwich is not in there. The chicken sandwich is not in there. That's a good feeling. That is a good feeling. Okay. Those are the type of days I'm talking about. When that happens, over, and all that happens in one day. So, you've got a couple options here when you get to that point. There are two things you can do. One thing is you can have a complete and total meltdown at this point, taking everything and everyone within a 1 mile radius with you. Or two, you can do something else. You can just stop and breathe. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this to his disciples, when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. He says, go in your room, shut the door, and pray. You know, I'm always struck by the way Jesus says, when you pray. He doesn't say, if you consider praying, if you pray. You know, he says, when you do this. When you pray. Prayer is complicated stuff, folks. Now, I don't even pretend to understand it. No. But I do know this. I got it from a reliable source. Prayer is not heaping up of empty phrases. It's not about telling God what God needs to be doing. It seems to be, at its very core, prayer is about laying our lives before God in an act of humble submission. You know, with the faith that clarity will come. Clarity will come. Jesus said, this is how you pray. Now, the Lord's Prayer is not very long. It's a short prayer. It's not extremely eloquent. It's not especially catchy. But for Jesus, it is the essence of prayer. You know why? Because it's basic and it's relational. It's basic and then it only asks for four things. One, God's will to be done. Two, basic sustenance. Three, forgiveness. And four, integrity. It's not petty. It's not superficial. It's not trivial. It's basic and it's relational. It's not about individual strivings to influence God. It's about covenant and our place in a community of faith and how this community is dependent upon individual relationships and the grace of God. That's what prayer is all about. It's about the fundamental character of life as a child of God. It's not about heaping up everything you can possibly think of that you want. No. It's about laying your life before the author of life. It's about being genuine before God. That's prayer. That's the essence of life. Basic in relationship. Our Father, your will be done. Give us basic sustenance. Forgive us and save us from ourselves. Richard Rohr sums it up. Prayer, beautifully, he says, prayer is an exercise in divine participation. That's beautiful. Step 7 again. We humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Humbly. That's the key here. Humility. We all know the proverb, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's always been problematic for me. Fear of the Lord sounds a bit off-putting. And you know, what I think is that maybe a better way of apprehending these words is to receive them more along the vein of profound humility. I think that's what's going on with the fear of the Lord. You know, as in humility is the beginning of wisdom. Maybe I don't know it all. Do you remember country music star Mac Davis? Has anybody ever heard that name? Thank you. Somebody, early service, they had no idea. Okay. How about his 1980 hit song, entitled It's Hard to Be Humble. Hard to be humble. All I can say about that is amen. I don't know why this was, but my parents gave me that album. And what is really weird is my roommate, who was from England, went home for Christmas, and his parents gave him that same album. So I don't know. It's the way the universe works. It's hard to be humble. Amen. Humility doesn't come easily to most of us. But the psalmist may just have the secret. The secret to step 7, be still and know that the Lord is God. That's a beginning of humility. The recognition that we are not God. I know, it's hard to hear. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases. No, whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray. Friends, only when we stop, and are completely honest with ourselves, and we make ourselves vulnerable through an act of genuine submission, do we present ourselves with the possibility of being recreated, of being transformed. And that's what we're seeking, isn't it? How to breathe underwater. Okay, very simple homework assignment for this week. What I want you to do is stop. Once a day. Maybe it's a minute. Maybe work up to that. Maybe it's 5 minutes. But just stop and be. And last week I said, this is a season of Thanksgiving. Maybe in that stopping, maybe you at least could say, thank you. And today we're thankful for the people who have gone before us. We will be thankful for things that are going on now. And then 2 weeks from today, we'll be thankful for those things that are to come. But just stop. Just stop. Because next week, step 8 and step 9, we're getting there. Step 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And step 9, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Hope to see you then. Thanks be to God.